About the day they crucified Jesus. I'm glad he was crucified for us. How about you? Why don't you turn your Bibles to Mark. Mark chapter 15 and verse 20. Mark chapter 15 and verse 20. Maybe sometime in May I'll start teaching that book of Romans. We'll see. I just can't get peace about when to start. But I'm teaching you Bible lessons every night. Last week we did a Bible lesson and stuff like that. So, Mark 15 and verse 20, verse 25. Let me read it to you. How many got Mark 15? Mark 15. You want to run these back, Billy? Mark 15, verse 20. How many got Mark 15, verse 20? Notice what the scripture says in Mark chapter 15, verse 20. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him to be out to crucify him, talking about what the Roman soldiers did to Jesus. And they compelled one Simon Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. And they bring him unto this place called Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of a skull. We know it also as Calvary, don't we? And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them, and what every man should take. Now, that was verse 25. About the middle of the message here, I'm going to show you different hours of the crucifixion, and then I'm going to show you what day it was. And it was the third hour. How many see that? I got it circled in my Bible. And they crucified him. Let me just pray. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you, dear God, for loving us and dying on. Over 2,000 years ago, you went to Calvary's cross, and it was your love manifested for all the world. No wonder John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world." And so, Father, we praise you. Thank you for loving us and for dying for us and raising that third day. Thank you for the gift of eternal life. Thank you for the promise of heaven, of eternal life, a new body, and, Father, just an eternity to look forward to being with you. Pray that, Lord, that you'll bless tonight. Help everyone here tonight, Father. Help them to understand the scriptures and grow in your grace. Help me to be a good teacher. Holy Spirit, fill me that I might speak well. Blot out things that I should not say, and Holy Spirit, put things in that I should say, even if I don't have them written down. May Christ be glorified in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be crucified. The day that Jesus was crucified, I want to talk to you about that day. The day that Jesus was crucified, the day they crucified our Lord. According to the scriptures, and I'll show you in just a minute. Don't get mad at me now. According to the scriptures, the traditional teaching that he was crucified on a Friday. But that's impossible. Hold your hand there and mark, but go to Matthew chapter 12. He was crucified, but it wasn't on a Friday. If you look at Matthew 12:40, don't worry what man says. Just go what the Bible says. Jesus said, "Let God be true and every man a liar." I don't care if I tell you or anybody else. Take what the scripture says. Here's what the scripture said that Jesus said out of his lips. In Matthew 12:40, "For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days, 3 nights in the heart of the earth." So how many hours in a day? 24. So there's got to be 72 hours. There has to be 72 hours for Christ to be in the grave. He said, "As just like Jonah was in the well 3 days and 3 nights, I'm going to be in the earth 3 days and 3 nights. How many understand what I'm saying there? Okay, that's 72 hours. 3 times 24. 24 hours a day. 3 times 24 is 72. How many are still with me? Now, if you put Jesus on the cross on Friday, you can't get 72 hours in there. You can't get 72 hours. to come up on Sunday. How many are still with me? You get 2 days. Are you still with me? I know when you teach truth, you know, yeah, you almost hope they don't throw cornballs at me tonight, Billy, and tomatoes. But because you've been traditionally taught all your life what the tradition teaches, but Jesus wasn't crucified on a Friday, and I'm going to show you in the scripture right now. He was crucified on a Wednesday, and I'll show it to you in just 1 minute here. But you got to understand the different hours too. So according to Matthew 12:40, Jesus would be in the grave 3 days and three nights. That's 24 hours times 3 days, 72 hours. Well, what day was Jesus crucified on? First of all, let me state the most important fact, and that Jesus did die. Billy, I'm not so, if you don't believe the day I tell you, that's all right. Because, Carl, the most important thing is that he died for us. Not the day that he died, but he did die. But if you really want to be a Bible believer and understand the scriptures, you ought to know what day he was crucified. But the most important thing is that he died on the cross. The day's not that important, but it's important that he died for us. Real quickly, just look at, hold your hand there in Mark 15. Look at Ephesians 1:7, and I'll get in to start teaching here. Ephesians 1:7. How many are glad Christ shed his blood for us on the sand, on the cross? Glad he's, the Bible says in Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his what? His blood. Jesus shed his blood on Calvary's cross. The Bible says that we're cleansed by the blood. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Thank God for that shed blood. Amen? Now, so praise God. The precious Lamb of God was slain for all of us. Now, let's look at the times and the day that our Savior was crucified. I want you to look at, I'm going to show you one thing in Genesis, and I'm going to come back to Mark 15. We'll wrap it up. But it takes me a while to do that, Billy. So look at Genesis 1:1. And look at verses 1 through 4. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. How many got it? It's right in front of your Bible. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form, void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day. And the darkness he called night. And you say, what's that got to do with the crucifixion? I'm at it right now. Look what he said there. And the evening and the morning was the first day. How many see that? If you keep reading in verse 8, as he talks about on the second day, and God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. How many see that? And then look at verse 13. And the evening and the morning were the third day. Are you seeing the pattern? The evening and the morning. Are you still with me? Okay. And then in verse 19, it says, in the evening and morning. And the evening and morning was the fourth day. Verse 23, and the evening and morning was the fifth day. Verse 30, and God said, let us make man in his own image. I'd like to let him have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and every creeping thing. That creepeth. So God created man in his own image. And verse 27, he made, created a male and female, and he created them. And it goes on to how he blessed them, how he saw that. Drop down to verse 31. And God saw everything that he made. Behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning was the sixth day. How many see that? We could keep going on, but I won't. So we know man was made on the sixth day. Six is the number of man. Seven is the number of complete. God rested on the seventh day. Seven is the completion of God. And but it didn't say in the morning and the evening. See, we start our day out at 12:01 a.m. We start in the morning and go to the evening. How many follow me? You need to follow me, because what I'm going to show you, you're going to say, oh, that's why. See, today we go from the morning to the evening. But God said, and I just read it to you over and over and over in Genesis 1. He said, in the evening and the morning was the first day. How many are still with me? All right, now go back to Mark 15. We're going to see something. So God started the day in the evening. It's amazing. I never teach this, but did you notice even when Adam and Eve sinned, he came walking in the cool of the day in the evening? How many ever noticed that? Then he came walking too. He didn't come running. Well, let's look at some of these things now. Let's read now the times that Jesus was on the cross. And then I'm going to try to explain with the paper I gave you. Don't look at the paper. Let me try to teach you first. That's the only thing bad when you pass out papers. Because I wrote that, so I don't think you're going to be able to read it anyway, so it don't matter. You're going to let me tell you what it is before you can understand what I wrote. Rosie was working, everybody was working, and I don't type. I do one finger at a time, but peck, 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 peck. But I wrote it down. Put it on white paper and let them run it off and downstairs. Well, let's look at Mark chapter 15. And Mark 15. And let's look at verse 25. That's where we left. And it was the third. What was it? How many got Mark 15, 25? Okay, I'm going to give you the hours. I'm going to give you the hours right now where Jesus was crucified. It was the third hour. And they crucified him. What hour was that? 9 a.m. Look at your paper. Let's see if I got it on your paper. The Jewish day, how many got your white papers? The Jewish day was divided up by two 12-hour segments or periods of time. The first segment or the first period of time, 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. 12 hours. Just like, Billy, right now, we have a day that consists of two 12 hours. But we start ours at 12 a.m. How many are with me yet? They're on a little bit different time schedule here at this time. Are you still with me? Okay. And the second part, so in the Jewish, it would be 6 p.m. That would make the evening end. And then the next, it goes from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. And that's the first 12. Then the second 12 hours would be 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. And that's the last 12 hours of the day. So you got 24 hours divided by two 12-hour segments. How many are still with me? Okay, Jesus was crucified in the last 12 hours of the day, the timeline. So, note, Jesus was crucified in the sixth hour. He was crucified in the third hour. I'm looking at the paper below it. That if you went from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m., what's 3 hours from 6 a.m.? I'm doing this. I'm doing the second 12-hour segment. How many are still with me? How many have I lost? Okay. Because I'm seeing these papers and, what? Okay. For what it's worth, you can read it tonight when you study it. Jesus was crucified at 9 a.m. in the morning. He was crucified in the third hour. That, if you, in the second 12-hour segment, from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., 3 hours from 6 a.m. is 9 o'clock. Am I getting it? I wish I had a big billboard, chalkboard to show you. So Jesus is crucified at 9 a.m. in the morning. Now, look, keep reading in Mark chapter 25. 15, boy, help me, Lord. Mark 15, verse 25 says it was the third hour and they crucified him. So they put Jesus on the cross at 9 a.m. Are you with me so far? Don't give up on me. I'll just read down to verse 33. And the superscription of his accusation was written over the King of the Jews, and he was the King of the Jews, but he was more than the King of the Jews. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. They should have wrote it all. And with him were crucified two thieves. And by the way, all those thieves represent you and I. Because one of those thieves received Christ as a Savior, the other rejected. The whole world's the same way. You either receive Christ or you reject him. Isn't that something God's showing you in the picture of the whole world? One receiving Christ? Which group are you in, though? I hope you're in the group that received him. And with him crucified two thieves, one on the right hand and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which said, he was numbered with the transgressors. And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it up in 3 days. They heard him say that. They remembered it. How come you're not off the cross? Hey, you said you could raise it up. Come on. Let's see you do something. Save thyself and come down from the cross. Likewise, also the chief priests mocking, saying among themselves and the scribes, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. That's exactly why he didn't save himself. Brother Buck, if he would have saved himself, he couldn't have saved you and I. There's a little song. He didn't come down. No, he didn't come down. I'm thankful he didn't come down. Had he come down before that, you and I would not have no chance. Aren't you glad he stayed in and suffered for you and I? And so, 32, let Christ the King of Israel descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. And they that were crucified with him reviled him. And when the sixth hour was come, remember, they put him on in the third hour. What time was the third hour? You're right, 9 a.m. So this is, now we went from the third hour to the sixth hour. So we're 3 hours. If you go from 9 a.m. to in three more, what's three more hours after 9 a.m.? It's 12 noon. You're right. This is a pretty smart class. You guys, I'm going to give you all A's. You might give me a zero, but I'm going to give you an A. I don't care. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness. And boy, at 12 noon, some teach that it was just over in that area, but I personally believe the whole world was darkened. And for 3 solid hours, from 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock, Jesus Christ suffered and agonized and paid our debt. He was our substitute. The Bible says, just stay there in Mark. I'm just going to throw off a couple verses to you. The Bible says in 1 John 2:2, and he's a propitiation. That word propitiation is a big word. And he's a propitiation for us, and not for us only, but for the whole world. That word propitiation means what Christ did on the Calvary's cross, he satisfied an outraged holy God over sin. That's what propitiation means. Christ took our place. Christ satisfied an outraged God over sin. And you see that word propitiation, that's what Christ was. Billy, you'll see, he'll say, Christ was our propitiation. He was. He took our place. He suffered for my sins. He suffered for your sins. He took all the sins of the whole world. Can anyone say amen? And from 12 noon all the way to 3 o'clock in the afternoon for 3 solid hours, complete darkness in the whole face of the world. Dark. I don't believe you could see in front of your hand. I really don't. That's how dark it was. So now we got Jesus suffering on the cross. They put him on. What time did Jesus go on the cross? 9 a.m. What time did God blacken the skies? 12 noon. How long did it last? 3 hours. From 12 noon to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, solid darkness while the Son of God hung and suffered for my sins and yours. Can anyone say amen? So, we got the third hour Jesus was put on the cross, which was 9 a.m. We got the sixth hour where it became dark, which was 12 noon. And then he cries out in the ninth hour. Look at verse 34. Well, look at verse 33. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. 3 solid hours of complete darkness. You know why? All the sins of the world were being judged. Dr. L. Lacey brought a great message one time. I'll never forget it. There, God had to turn his back on his own son
so he could punish and give judgment for sin. Aren't you glad Jesus took our judgment? And Jesus wasn't trying to wimp out in the garden there. He knew he was going to take all. See, Jesus, look up here. Jesus was holy. No, I mean, he was really holy. There was never an impure thought in Christ's mind. He never sinned, not once. And for holiness to go on the cross and take all the sins of the world, for holiness to become unholy, vile. That's why when you read in the Garden of Gethsemane, he had sweat, blood, drops of sweat that were blood. It was so repulsive to Christ that he had to become sin. Oh, he knew he had to do it. He wasn't backing out, but his holiness was saying, oh my, I've got to become sin. How many understand that? But he still went. Aren't you glad he still went? 9 a.m., they put him on the, they nailed him to the cross at 9 a.m. 3 hours later, 12 noon, complete darkness upon the face of the earth. And at 3, and then at 3 o'clock, that means from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., how many hours is that? No, 9 to 3. 6 hours. Jesus, and then the ninth hour, which is 3 o'clock, he cried out, it's finished, and he gave up the ghost. Let's see if it says it there. Look at verse 34. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And of course, you know, he had several sayings right then. The last one he said, you can find it in John 19:30. Don't turn to it, though. It is finished. You can write it down, John 9. The last statement Jesus said was, it is finished. The sin debt had been paid. Can anyone say amen? And so you have Christ at 9 a.m. being put on the cross. 12 noon, the God blackened the skies because of sin. And at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Jesus gave up the ghost. Look at verse 37. And Jesus cried with a loud voice. And that loud voice was, my God, it is finished. John 19:30, you can write there. And Jesus cried with a loud voice, and gave up the ghost. In other words, when he gave up, look up here. Every one of us are body, soul, and spirit. When a person dies, that soul and spirit leaves. He gave up the ghost. He gave up his, how many are with me? That means he died. So Jesus died at 3 o'clock. Right around the 3 o'clock hour in the afternoon. So he was there from 9 o'clock to 3 o'clock. Stay with me. I'm working on stuff. And at the end you're going to say, oh, man, that makes a lot of sense now. So he was on the cross for 6 hours. What day was man made? 6 day. Remember Genesis? God made man on the 6th day. See, I'm a numbers nut in the Bible. It's called numerology. And I really believe there's a lot of truth about numerology when you look at numbers. But like one true living God, two, number of witness. Jesus said they come, you have a number of witness. Three is a divine number. Jesus raised on the 3rd day. 4 is a number of the world. Lazarus was in the grave 4 days, and they brought him out. He's the number of the whole world dead in their sins. But after 4 days, who came? Christ, and raised Lazarus out of the grave. Remember that? He when you read about Lazarus over there in John, the Gospel of John, when Lazarus was in the grave 4 days, 4 is the number of the world, he represented all people of the earth. They all need Christ to raise them. Amen? And 5 is the number of, in the New Testament, 5 is the number of grace. He fed the 5,000, 5 loaves of bread. 6 is the number of man. 7 is a perfect, complete number. 8 is a new beginning, salvation. 8 people, when God sent the flood, how many people were in the ark? There was 8. Noah and his wife, 3 sons and their 3 wives. Shem, Ham, and Japheth and their 3 wives. There was 8 people. And God destroyed the whole world because he was going to start a whole brand new beginning. 8 is a new beginning or a type of salvation, because when you get saved, it's a new beginning. Amen? Nine's a finished work on Calvary's cross, and this keeps on going. 12's Israel, 40's number of testing. Okay, so I didn't have that plan. That's free, Jack. That wasn't planned. Now let me get a drink of water, and I'll try to go back to where I was. Don't get me to go off on those things, Rod. Let's see. So we're at verse 37 in Mark 15, and they cried with a loud voice, and he cried, Jesus cried with a loud, and gave up the ghost. Okay. And boy, look what happened. The veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. Yeah, because, see, they always had to go to that temple to try to offer up lambs year after year. But see, what God was showing the people, that's it. You don't need it no more. I'm the new covenant. I'm the eternal lamb that you need now. Only me. I died once for all. Can anyone say amen? You don't have to offer up no more lambs. I am the Lamb of God. John the Baptist, when he saw him, he said, behold, the Lamb of God, John 1:29, which take away the sins of the world. And so the Lamb of God, the sacrifice of God, the atonement of God was right there with Christ. Can anyone say amen? Hallelujah. Almost gets you excited, amen? So we got, let's see, class. What time did they put Jesus on the cross? 9 a.m. What time did it get dark? Noon. How long? How many hours? 3 hours. So 12. And then what hour did Jesus cry out? He gave up the ghost. Right around 3 o'clock. So can all of us say amen to that? Okay. So if we go to the scriptures, Jesus was crucified at 9 a.m. He was on the cross from 12, the darkness, 12 noon all the way to 3 p.m., the complete darkness. At 3 p.m., he gave up the ghost and died. Then they took him and placed him in his tomb. And I believe with all my heart, they put Jesus in that tomb. By the way, remember how Pilate says, he said, wow, he's dead already? Remember when they came and said they were going to break his knees? See, that's how they killed those people on the cross if they hadn't died earlier. They would break their knees. There was a little wooden pedestal like that. See, you'd be hanging there and you couldn't breathe. You couldn't get no air in your lungs. So they would have that little pedestal and they would push real hard as much as it hurt. They'd push up and they'd get air in their lungs and they'd have to sit back down. And then right before they would suffer and almost die of suffocation, they'd push up and get air in their lungs, and that would go on and on and on till they would break their kneecaps. And then they could no longer push up on that little pedestal below their foot, and then they would suffocate. But that didn't happen to Jesus, because Jesus gave us, he said, that's it, I'm dead. When you read John chapter 10, in John chapter 10 he said, I didn't have this plan, but I'm going to do it. Look at John chapter 10. He said, I lay down my life, no one's taking it from me. I love it. What book do I got you in, Mark? Let's hold on. Let's go to John 10. I didn't have this plan. This is an extra coupon. I like to brag on my Savior. Let's see if I can find that verse, John. Thank you. How many have got John 10? Okay. Let's look at verse 14 first. I am the good shepherd, Jesus said. By the way, I am. Moses asked God back in Exodus 3:14, what's your name? And God told Moses, go back and tell him, I am has sent you. See, Jesus was the I am of the New Testament. He's God, amen? I am the true vine. I am the good shepherd. I am the great shepherd. I am the way, the truth. How many can say amen? Verse 14, I am, proving he was God, the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father. And I lay down my life. I, Christ, saying it. I lay down my life for the sheep. No one took it. And the other sheep I have, which are not in this fold, them also which I bring, they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd. Yeah, because see, Billy, we're that other fold. See, we weren't there when Jesus died, but we still heard his voice, the Holy Spirit calling us. Amen? Now, therefore doth my Father love me, because what? I lay down my life that I might, what's it say there? That I might take it again. Ooh, I love that. That's a yabba dabba do. When he was on that cross, the lost world was, he hung down. They said, yeah, we killed that fraud. We killed him. Yeah. They didn't realize they didn't kill him. See, Jesus just didn't die. See, you and I don't, when God takes our life, but he, see, like when we flip a light on and off, see, Jesus said, well, I'm the propitiation, and I paid all the price, so I'm going to die now. Billy, they didn't kill Jesus. He just said, I'm going to die. He flipped the light on. He flipped it off. He flipped it on. How many are still with me? I'm glad I got a Savior can do that. Hello? Can anyone say amen? And so, therefore does my Father love me because I laid down my life that I might take it again. My, what a wonderful thing that Christ did. And so we believe they put him in, he died before they came to break their kneecaps. They marveled that he had died soon, but they realized that Christ, see, Christ, everything that Jesus did was planned. He had a real plan. Like, Billy, I get plans, but sometimes it don't look like a plan. It's not a plan. But everything God did was for a purpose. God had a purpose for the time. Brother Coolidge, the time that he was crucified was not an accident. The time it got dark was not an accident. The time he cried out, it's finished, it was not an accident. Everything was planned before the foundation. God knew what was going to happen, when it happened, before the foundation of the world. It says there in Peter 1:20. How many are still with me? And so they put Jesus, Brother Mel, in the tomb before 6 o'clock so they'd be in there at the end of the day. Can anyone say amen? Now stay with me. So if the day, I'm telling you, I believe it was Wednesday. And I'm going to back it up with Scripture. If the day was Wednesday, which is the middle of the week, isn't that something? Often wonder if the rapture will happen in the middle of the week. I don't know. No one knows the time. But it wouldn't make me mad if it happened on a... Of course, it won't happen. If it happened on any day, I'd be happy. But the tribulation is in the middle of the Antichrist exposed himself in the middle of the week during the seven-year tribulation. A lot of things about the middle, but not for tonight's message, though. If the day was Wednesday when they crucified Christ, which is the middle of the week, and I put Sunday. Do you have that on your paper? Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday? Okay. I didn't want you to miss out on anything. Okay. So I got the seven days there. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. How many see that? And you say, why'd you put Sunday first? Because when you read the scriptures, Matthew 28, it says on the first day of the week. Sunday is the first day of the week. Go home and look at your calendar. Even though everybody goes to work on Monday, Sunday is the first day of the week. The reason it's the first day of the week is because Jesus arose on the first day of the week. the world, did you know the world has a calendar that celebrates Christ's resurrection and don't even know it? Why is Sunday the first day of the week then? Hello? Okay, here we go. Let's see if I got this on. Okay, now where am I at on your paper? Do you have a paper, Judy? Where am I at your paper? Am I on page 2? Okay, here we go. Let me do it, because I got other stuff written. If I do this, you'll never get. Let's just do this one. Some other day we'll do that one. Note, if the day was Wednesday, which I really believe it is, which is the middle of the week, Monday, Tuesday, and I wrote all 7 days out for you. Of course, seventh day was Sabbath. That was a Jewish Sabbath. By the way, look up here. We don't keep the Sabbath. We don't keep the Sabbath. People say, I'm going to church on the Sabbath. Well, first of all, you have to be going on Sunday, or Saturday, rather. Saturday is a Jewish Sabbath. But we don't keep the Sabbath. We keep the first day of the week because Jesus arose on the first day of the week. How many are still with me? Now, watch, I wrote. Looks like, at least I think that's what I wrote. Now watch. How many are watching? So if I'm right, They had Jesus. They got Jesus in the grave, Brother Buck, by 6 o'clock. I'm telling you, I believe with all my heart Jesus was crucified on a Wednesday. By the way, if you leave tonight, you don't believe me, it doesn't matter what day. Well, I think it really does matter, and you should know the truth. But the truth of it, I'm just glad. I don't care what day he died for me. It was great that he died for my sins. But if you want to know the truth, he died on a Wednesday. Something we even have Wednesday night services. I don't know how that happens. Now, from Wednesday, from 6 p.m. when they put him in the tomb, to Thursday, 6 p.m., would be what? One day. Okay. One day, right? Okay. Then Thursday, from Thursday, 6 p.m. to Friday, 6 p.m., would be 2 days. And then from Friday to 6 p.m. to Saturday to 6 p.m. would be 3 days. I'm not messing up. I know what I'm doing. When does the next day start? That's right, 6:01. So on, even though it's what we know is Saturday, I have to go back to our terms so we can understand. At 6:01 on our Saturday, which we call now, but at 6:01 on that day, it became Sunday. How many understand what the preacher's trying to show you? The Jewish state, see, they didn't go from 12 to 12. They went from 6 to 6. So at the end of 6 p.m. on Saturday, that's the end of the Sabbath. And so at 6:01 p.m., are you with me? You started Sunday. Am I confusing anybody? Can you understand what I'm trying to show you? And so Jesus came out of that grave on the first day of the week, but we know it as Saturday because of what we go by now, but then it was, well, you want to go where the truth was, but back then, Jesus came out of that grave early in the morning after, which they say back then was the morning, 6 p.m., 6:01 p.m. Am I messing you up? How many are trying to get what I'm trying to tell you? Jesus came out of that grave, I believe, shortly after that 6 p.m. Soon as the Sabbath ended, soon as that Sabbath on Saturday ended, Christ came, shortly after, I believe with all my heart, Christ came out of that grave, which would have been the first day of the week. Soon as the Sabbath, because it said, even in Matthew 28:1, it says, at the end of the Sabbath, look at Matthew 28:1. See where I'm at. Matthew 28:1. In the end of the Sabbath, so the Sabbath's ending, Billy. He didn't rise on the Sabbath day. He rose on the first day of the week. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary. They came, but he had already risen. See, well, they're coming there in the dawn. Yeah, they came, but he was already out. Are you getting what I'm trying to show you? He long rose before they got there. You know, we're always a day late and a dollar short, aren't we? How many are still with the preacher? And so Christ, you know, I have felt sick all day. But when you teach the Bible, I mean, I have been sick all day long. Satan knew I was going to do this. He didn't want me to talk about Christ. Amen? But so Jesus arose that first day of the week. And I believe Jesus came out of the grave shortly after 6 p.m. on that Saturday, which would have been the first day of the week at 6:01. At 6:01, as Mrs. Knight said, it would have started the first day of the week. So sometime after 6 o'clock, Jesus came out of that grave. Remember, the first day of the week started at 6:01 p.m. Remember, our timeline is not, remember, our timeline is 12 p.m. to 12 p.m., but remember Genesis 1:4? And the evening in the morning was the first day. How many are still with me? Are you getting what I'm trying to show you? He came out in the evening. I know, you're smart, but for some reason I'm not getting it to you. I'm seeing your eyes saying, I don't get it. And she's a real smart, she's brilliant. so I'm not doing something done. Lord, give me wisdom. What I'm showing you is they had a different time schedule than you and I do now. Does that make sense? They were on a different time than what we are right now. They went from 6 to 6. We go from 12 to 12. How many get that? And so, Brother Smith, I believe Christ with all my heart came out sometime after 6 o'clock on the first day of the week, which was Sunday. But we as human beings, we look at like this week, when Saturday comes, Billy, at 6 p.m., it's still Saturday. At 6:01, it's still Saturday. But not back when Jesus was. Does that make sense? So even though we recognize it as a Saturday, Billy, at 6:01 this week, and back in Jesus' day, it was the first day of the week. We don't recognize the first, here it is, we don't recognize the first day of the week to 12 midnight. At 12:01, but what I'm saying is they recognized it sooner. Am I making sense to anybody? And that's how you got 3 days there. Thursday, he's crucified on a Wednesday. Watch. He's crucified on a Wednesday. You got to get 3 days in. Thursday, 6 o'clock. Friday, 6 o'clock. Saturday, 6 o'clock. 3 days. And 6:01. Whoop. How many get it? That's really a Bible truth. Now, don't go to where you work tomorrow and say, you guys are so dumb. No, that's not the Spirit of God anyways. And people have taught me truth. I've been blessed, and so have you when you study. I don't do that to make fun of people. I just wanted to, the more truth I can give about Christ. When you're witnessing to a lost person, don't worry about them saying, well, did you know he was crucified on a Wednesday instead of a Friday? Don't say that. It doesn't mean nothing anyways. I say, hey, he was crucified. I don't care what day you want to put on it. He was crucified because he loved us. He arose because he loved us. He's coming back because he loves us. He gives us eternal life because he loves us. That's what's important. But if you want to be a real slick guy like Wyatt Earp and wear two gun barrels, I'll shoot it out with you in the old King James Bible. I just want you to have truth. Well, the truth is that Christ loved us and died for us, rose, and he's at the right hand of the Father. And I believe, like Billy prayed, Billy, I believe there's a good chance he will come back in our lifetime. I really believe that. And so, Jesus, I believe with all my heart, according to the Scriptures, if I understand the Scriptures right, I believe he was crucified on a Wednesday and arose Saturday evening after 6 o'clock, which would have been qualified for the first day of the week. Am I saying that so you can understand it? Okay, that's the Bible truth. Let's have a moment of prayer. I'm glad you came. And let's have a moment of prayer first. With every head bowed and every eye closed. You know, the greatest thing that I told you throughout the night was not what day Jesus was crucified, but that he was crucified, that he did shed his blood, that he did give his life for you and I. Can I have the piano, honey? And that he literally gave his life so you and I could have eternal life. I wonder today, Rosie's going to play softly. I wonder today, how many could say, Pastor, I know for sure. There was a time I knew I was lost. I knew I was going to hell. And I asked Christ to save me. I trusted Christ and what he did for me on the cross. Can you raise your hand and say, I know for sure I'm saved. Amen. You may put him down. Is there anyone? What I saw almost looked like every hand went up. Is there anyone here tonight? Don't be ashamed. That you never saw yourself a lost sinner. Never saw yourself going to hell. Never saw your need for a Savior to save you from hell. Never realized that Christ shed that blood on Calvary just for you. The Bible says the life of the flesh is in the blood. in the book of Leviticus. The life of the flesh is in the blood. See, Jesus gave his life. He shed his blood for you and I. Great truth. The tomb couldn't hold him. Hallelujah. Man, I'm glad he arose that third day. Because he's risen, you and I have eternal hope. We're blessed. Because our God's a risen Savior. He's a real Savior. He's a reigning Savior. One day soon, he's going to be a returning Savior. Is there, before I pray here, is there anyone that would say, Pastor, and I won't come to you and I won't embarrass you, I promise. Pastor, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I'm really not sure, preacher. Would you pray for me that God would show me? Preacher, I'm not sure, but I'd like to be sure. Pray for me. Anyone like that, just raise your hand and put it back down. Won't embarrass you, won't come to you. Get my word. Just want to pray for you. Anyone like that? Preacher, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. And I don't want to die and go to hell. Please pray for me. Just lift your hand up and put it back down. I want to pray for you. Anyone like that at all? Pray for me. Father, we just want to thank you. We want to thank you for loving us today and dying for us. I pray for everyone here that each one knows you as a personal Savior. They all say they do. Lord, thank God that you died for us. No matter if it was on a Wednesday, a Thursday, or a Friday, I believe it was a Wednesday according to Scripture. Lord, I thank you for that sacrifice on Calvary. Thank you for that resurrection the first day of the week on Sunday. Thank you for your ascension back to heaven 40 days later. And thank you for the soon return, the promise. But first the rapture, the calling up of the saints, and then the revelation of Christ 7 years later. Lord, I'm excited about that. I pray you'll bless each one. Let's stand. We're going to just sing one verse. What page are you on, John? 375. We're going to sing one verse of 375. If you want to come for any reason, you just come. If you'd like to come and pray, you come. That's right. Maybe someone that's lost, you know.